station on 2 for cargo.
Munich is with you on 2. Go ahead.
Good morning. I just had a question. I see that the Columbus NG-23 trash cutter that's on my timeline at 2:30 is black boxed, but looking at it, it looks like it's something that probably could be flexible. I was just wondering if there are any constraints on that one. Could I do it earlier if I have time or later? I'm assuming it needs to be done before the end of Chris's cargo ops. Are those two links then?
And copy all, Jessica. We are checking.
Thank you.
Station Tsukuba on Space Ground 2 for Chris. No response required. You have a great view. Thank you for the setup. Thank you, Chris. We got your thumbs up.
Station Munich on Space to Ground 2 for Jessica and answer to your question.
Ground 2.
And Jessica, thank you for your patience. As you suggested, the Columbus NG-23 trash getter activity can be treated as flexible, but it should be performed at latest as scheduled so we can have ground teams available in case of questions. I'll copy.
Hey, copy that, Vahida. I may get started on it a little bit early depending on how my day goes then, but I'll definitely have it finished on time. Thank you very much for looking into that.
Copy all, and thank you for asking to start it earlier.
Station Tsukuba on Space Ground 2, for Chris, you are go for step 10.2.
Copy, go for 10.2.
Station Tsukuba on Space Ground 2, for Chris, we have perfect view. Thank you. And small favor, could you close the PLD-7 to avoid misoperation? Thank you, we got your thumb up.
Tsukuba, station on 2, for step 10.11. Of the space microscopy setup.
Video on 2, Chris.
Yeah, I just wanted to check that you were okay with the setup of the fluorescent plate sample and the checkout sample.
Yes, Chris. Let us confirm the left one is checkout sample and the right one is fluorescent plate sample. Chris, you read
an affirmative,
our
right
mind.
One is fluorescent plate, left one is checkout.
Yeah, Chris, you read our mind, and now we are able to confirm they're in the right positions. Thank you.
Cuba, station on 2. I'm complete in step 10.19 of 2.001. Switches are on and ready for ground operation.
Station Tsukuba on Space Ground 2, copy, ready for ground operation. Thank you.
Thanks very much. I will stow the equipment for the stowage node. Thanks.
Copy. Thank you for your great work.
Houston, station on 2 for PMD depress teardown.
Hey, good morning, Chris. With you on 2 for the PMD depress activity. One note, I guess, before you begin that activity, if you could scroll down to step 20.2.2.3, there's a typo in the note. Let me know when you're there, and I'll give you the updated number.
Copy that, 22.2.3. And, yeah, I was just wondering if I could start early, but if that's okay with you guys, and I see the step.
And, Chris, you have a go in step 17, and the typo there, that should be GFCI cable 1050, not 1053.
Copy. 1050, not 1053. I copy that.
Good read back. And for your awareness, Jack has an activity at 1645 today to put this GFCI in its final config with tie wraps and everything else.
Copy that. Jack will get it all wrapped up.
Station on 2 for camera view.
Good morning, Jessica. We are not seeing Jim. Have you set up Jim Cam 2 or Jim Cam 1?
Checking. Actually, I set up 2. Do you want me to switch it? Or is, I think, 1 being used by, or was being used by Chris. I've got 2 up. Will that work?
That works. We're rerouting.
Is that an affirmative for 2?
Yes, ma'am. Affirmative.
Okay, awesome. And then I think we're going to do this one on 3, right? So I'll meet you bit guys over on 3.
That's affirm. And if you have any hardware questions, JCOM's going to help you out. Anything else, I'm here for you.
Okay, Okay, awesome. Yeah, I was kind of confused with why it said check PIC for view, but I am going to be talking to JAXA then for this, correct?
For the first activity, and then you get all me.
Okay, copy.
Houston Station on 2 for PMD. Just wanted to double check. Step 26, it says it's an MCCH step, but I'm pretty sure that's a typo. Just wanted to make sure.
He's just checking. And Chris, that's a typo on our part.
Figured it'd be pretty hard for you guys to move within, but, you know, figured I should ask anyways.
Yep, it'd be impossible for us to do so. Thanks for checking.
Station Munich on Space to Ground 2 for Jack.
Munich, Station Jack's on 2.
Jack, we would like to ask you if you would be willing to take a Red K photo documentation for us. It's currently planned for Chris at 11:15 GMT, and we would appreciate this to be done now if you're free. Station Munich on Space to Ground 2 for Jack. We ran into a short handover, so we did not copy your answer.
Houston Station on 2 for Proxlink verification.
Good afternoon, Chris. You are go for the Proxlink verification. And reminder, in Step 2, you'll be commanding the ACK light to off OFF.
Copy. Step 2, commanding the ACK light to off OFF. And just to confirm, did you have a preference for which PCS you wanted me to use? My plan was in the cupola, but if you guys have a preference, let me know.
Concur cupola.
Copy all. Stepping into Step 1. Houston Station on 2 for Proxlink verification. The command path LED is on, and the ACK light is deactivated via PCS command.
Houston copies. Thanks, Chris.
No problem. Houston Station on 2 for airlock camera positioning.
Good afternoon, Jack.
Hello. How are you? And I've got the airlock camera set up. Not sure if you guys want to power it on and check the view now, or just happy to wait until Andre comes down later.
Jack, thanks for setting that up. We'll wait until Andre starts into his activity for checking the view.
Sounds good. Appreciate it. This is Chris on 2 from Columbus. I'm looking for your go to step into 2.311.
Chris, this is Munich on 2. Good to talk to you. We can give you the go for the HD activities for VCA-1, that is the port hatch side VCA in Columbus, and we would also then request permission to come on board.
Absolutely. I copy the go, and you are more than welcome to come on board. I'll get started in the procedure for VCA-1. Thank you. Munich, station on 2 from Columbus. I've completed 2.311 VCA-1 activation and setup for HD mode with audio muted.
And we copy. We are getting the routing set up on ground. Your go to continue for now.
Copy. Go to continue. I'm continuing to the next procedure. Munich, station on 2. The lens cap is placed on VCA-1.
And Chris, we see that. We'd like you to leave it on for about a minute. We'll get back to you when we're done for you to continue.
Copy all. Standing by for your call for the next steps. Thank you.
Station, this is Munich on Space to Ground 2 for Chris. You are go for step 3 of the execution note to remove the lens cap and then point at your iPad.
Copy. In work on step 3. Sin Station, Jackson 2 for Cygnus Pack, Lime 358.
With you.
Awesome. Just photographing forward 2 area, and I notice I've got something packed in forward 2 underscore 1, but there's nothing in forward 2 underscore 1. So I've got something in underscore 2, but not in underscore 1, and I just want to make sure that's the actual final configuration.
Checking.
And station, this is Munich on 2 for Chris. Could you bring the iPad a little bit closer to the camera that it fills out the entire view screen of the camera?
Yeah, I'll let you know if that works.
And station, this is Munich on 2 for Chris. That is a real good close-up. Lastly, we would ask you for step 4 to pan around Columbus and give us a little tour of our beautiful module as the closeout of this activity.
Absolutely. I'll start giving the tour right now, and it does look quite beautiful in here. Munich, station on two for VCA-1. Like continuing the tour, or is that good for now?
And Chris, this is Munich. Yeah, we were just about to call you. Thank you for that tour. That's what we're looking at. And just for your background info, we're going to be analyzing this, the quality of the video to see if we need to replace the VCA or not. But for now, it looks really crisp. Thank you for all that. You can put it back stationary somewhere. And for your info, we'd like to leave the video running then for a few more minutes just to do some ground check out. But for your crew activity, that would be all for now. Up onto the stowing of the lens cap, please.
Yep, I will continue on to that, and sounds good. Yeah, the video, at least on the little screen here, looks really good, too. So glad that works, and yeah, let me know if there's anything else I can help with. I'll get to the restow. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
Station Houston, Space Ground 2 for Jack and stowage answer.
And Houston, Jack is in Cygnus, but is on his way shortly.
Happy, we'll stand by. Thanks, Chris.
Chris is very enthusiastic to answer the radio, but Jack is now here.
You're equally enthusiastic, Jack. So at the Cygnus 42 underscore Foxtrot 1 location, we did expect an RST water tank packed there before you came on board and a JSB packed today. It's possible that those things could be close to that F1 location, but that's what we were expecting.
Okay, an RST and a JSB, and this is in Foxtrot 2 underscore 1. Do you have serial numbers for either of those?
Checking. And Jack, the RST would be in a hefty bag, serial number 0013, and the JSB would be a WAT bag, serial number 5523.
All right, a hefty 0013 and a WHC JSB 5523.
Good copy.
And station Jackson 2, thanks for those tips on forward to that cleared up problem. It's all packed the way we just talked about. Appreciate you guys looking that up for me. It really helped.
Thanks for asking the question, Jack. All good.
Sim station on 2 for backup unit A swap.
Good afternoon, Jessica. You are go in step 3.1, and I do have a restow option to make Monday easier if you're ready to copy.
Okay, copy, go for 3.1, and also I've got Unit A 1318. Just FYI, it was written a little strangely in the stow note. It just said Yede Bay cover. I know that we call them by the cover name, and this one's already assembled, and it's the entire Yede Bay we're swapping out, but the stowage note makes it sound like we're only getting a cover.
Good serial number, Jessica, and we copy all. So talking about that, the stowage note, the restow option we have for you is you could either restow per line item 1 for the Yedeve in the 6.0 CTB, or you can temp stow per your preference, as this Yedeve will be used on Monday by Chris. And we're fine with either stowage option. Just let us know what you elect.
Okay, I'll let you know at the end. Thank you.
Sounds good.
Houston, station on 2. I've got lab cam 1 on the monitor 1 of the lab RWS. Let me know if you want any adjustments to that field of view.
Copy, Chris. We like it. Thanks.
Copy, yeah.
Station, Sophian 2 for timeline.
Good afternoon, Sophie.
Hey, good afternoon. We were super efficient for the ARITK session this morning, so now it's all done. All of the videos are downlinked, and we're all finished with that. So my suggestion for timeline is that I do all of my sports sessions right now, and I have in my mind the no sports constraints, no exercise constraints at some point. But I just wanted to offer my time at the end of the day here because, I mean, within 2 hours, I think I'll be done. And if you have some activities for Cygnus Departure or anything that could be worth for you, I'm here for you.
Copy, Sophie. We definitely appreciate the offer. We're good with your plan to go ahead and exercise. After you're done with that, you can give us a call back. We have some follow-up questions on the suspect SD cards you found, and we may have you help out with some Cygnus cargo ops. Enjoy exercise.
Great, thank you, and looking forward to talking to you a bit later,
bye. Station, Jack, on 2 for Cygnus Cargo, line 362.01.
Houston's here.
All right, I stuffed SP5605 with 2 of the 4 1.0 CTVs worth of spare clothes. I think I still have some more space in the forward one area of Cygnus. Like to grab an empty JSB, fill it up with the other two 1.0 CTBs, spare clothes,
and see if I can fit it into the same spot if you guys are good with that plan. But there's space in there. The JSP 5605 is just full.
Copy, Jack. We will check.
Thank you, Callie.
Jack, we are good with your plan, and we'll take the report of the additional JSP number when you have it.
Thank you kindly. I will let you know.
John 2 for backup EAA.
With you.
Yeah, Amy, the 2 backup EAA hose is hooked up to the Pedaccia de Valenia, and those ops are complete. We will be temp stowing the other EAA in toilet.
Copy, the temp stow in toilet. Thanks.
John 2 for trash gather.
And Munich is here on 2. Go ahead. Station, this is Munich on 2 for trash gather. Go ahead.
And station Houston on 2 for Jessica.
I'm checked on space to ground 2. Ed?
Station, this is Munich on space to ground 2. We hear you loud and clear for the comm check.
Hey, strange. It seems to be this handheld mic seems to be intermittent because I was just talking to you guys and it seemed like it didn't go through and sometimes the transmit button actually doesn't light up, but we'll see how this goes. So 2.02 and 2.03 look like they are the adapter and the card, so I found both of those and those are still in 5285, but I did not locate 2.01. I remember last time you guys had told me that Sophie was still using that and that's why it wasn't there. Is that the case still?
Jessica, we can't confirm 100% that 2.01 is in use, but don't worry about it for now. We'll investigate further.
It sounds good, and I'll follow up with Sophie later, too, to see if she knows anything about it.
And just to clarify, Jessica, feel free to call us for this. It's an ESA Columbus activity.
Yeah, exactly. I have been calling you, so I wasn't sure why. That's still answered on one of those. I think it was because it was kind of intermittent comm. Anyway, I see that there have been no changes to the steps where I listed stuff as not present before, so I'm assuming I should just skip those. Like, for example, 3.04 was not there. There was a different bag of trash that's remaining there, but I should just leave it then.
That is affirmative. 3.04 you can skip. We did add some steps further down for those that, where you wrote that they did not fit in the JSP, that they can be directly transferred over to Cygnus, but you'll see that.
And Jessica Houston, we did copy your report about seems like maybe the handheld mic isn't working well. What ATU are you calling us from?
Calling from the starboard ATU, and it seems to only be the upper button. When I press the upper button at first, sometimes the transmit light does light up, and other times it starts lit and then it goes away. The bottom button seems to be working normally.
We copy all. Thanks for the report.
Yeah, thanks. I'll let you know if I see anything else with this. And then for Munich, back on 2, I assume that this activity does account for the fact that I had moved both items out of the JSP that I'm using for this activity into 5810 because we thought we were going to be sending that down on HTV, but then in the end we had to take it off.
And that's affirmative. We took care of that.
We do. Thank you.
Station Houston on 2 for Jack and AED battery follow-up.
Houston Station, Jack's with you on 2.
Hey, Jack, thanks for the crew note on the spare AED battery state of charge. We do also need the battery charge level of the installed battery.
Oops, sorry about that. I meant to type it in. It was definitely 4 bars on the main battery that's installed in the AED.
Copy. Thanks for the report.
Houston Station Ops for Cygnus Cargo Ops.
Houston's here.
Hey, I'm just picking up where Jack left off, and one of the things Jack mentioned getting some of the old clothes put in a JSP on Cygnus. And he also noted that in PMA-3, there's still 2 other 1.0s of Fink clothes, 1.05599 and 1.05602. And we were wondering if that should be dispositioned into one of those closed JSPs as well.
Copy, Chris. We will check into that. It will take a few minutes. We'll call you when we have an answer.
Copy that. I'll keep pressing forward. I may be down in Cygnus, so give me a try back if you don't hear from me.
Sure thing.
Munich, station on 2 for cargo.
Munich, 0 on 2. Go ahead, Jessica.
Just FYI, in 13.03, the Lumina kit was actually floating on top of the rack of the Columbus Deck 3 rack, so I'm assuming there's no need to open that location, or are there other things we need to get down there?
And Jessica, we would ask you to restore the Lumina kit after you've retrieved the Lumina dual drive, and that kit should go actually back into the Deck 3 area.
Copy, and just to make sure, the contents of that kit, there's a Lumina dongle in there, it says quantity 2, and then there are two Ziploc bags that both say Lumina dual drive quantity 2. One of them actually has 2 in it, and one of them only has 1 in it, but it looks like I do have a barcode for the one I'm throwing away, and I'm just throwing away one of them.
I think that's a good understanding. Yes, please do mind the barcode that we trashed the right one.
Hey, copy, and for both you and for Houston, it definitely is the top button of this handheld mic on the Starboard ETU that is not working.
Houston copies, Jessica, and if we could get a serial number of the handheld mic, that we appreciate it.
Serial number 5030.
Houston copies.
Houston, station on 2 for SIG 23 cargo, step 364.
With you in 364.
Hey, so currently in Cygnus there is one mesh bag of bubble wrap. I think in the prior step we had noted we put one of the second mesh bag of bubble wrap is currently temp stowed under the starboard MWA. And I see that the step is having us put them both in Cygnus for disposal, and I just wanted to double check before we do that. That's all the bubble wrap we have. Are we going to be needing random bubble bags for packing things? I'm just a little scarred by my space 33 packing experience and want to check before we get rid of all of our bubble wrap.
Checking. And Chris, we are having you dispose of that bubble wrap because NG24 is going to bring a whole new fresh set of bubble wrap.
Copy that. And do you want us to dispose of the mesh bags as well, or do you want us to just, like, gray tape the bubble wrap into a bundle and stick it in there?
And Chris, it's your preference. If you think you're low on mesh bags, you can definitely use the strap with gray tape option, or you can dispose of the mesh bags as well.
Okay, yeah, copy, Alan. So I just to confirm, I will get rid of all the bubble wrap we got.
Affirm.
Okay, I'll do it. Sorry, one other question while I have you. I was able to locate ASBs on lines 367 and 368. They were just in the PMM. The JSP on line 366, I think I looked for that the other day. I tried barcode readering, but we found in a crew note or a note in the stow track for HTVX that it appeared to have been loaded on HTVX. Is there anything else you wanted me to look for there? I think we're pretty confident that it's on HTVX.
Checking. And Chris, I'm back with you on 2 if you're still with me.
And Chris is back with you on 2.
All right, Chris, 2 items for you. For the JSB serial number 5603, no need to keep looking for that. We knew 5602 or 5603 were on HTVX. We think, based on your report, we figured out where the bags are, so no further action on that one. And then a follow-up to a question you asked earlier, for Mike's clothing, an answer on whether to pack that or not is going to take some time. We hope to get you an answer today. Maybe tomorrow or early next week. We will still have access next week.
Yeah, that sounds great to me. And just to confirm, I think it was actually my head's getting confused. I'll check, but I found one of 5602 or 5603, and that one has been located. But the other one is on Cygnus, and I'm mind blanking on which one is which. Hold on. And Houston, Chris is back with you. 5602 was found in the PMM. It is in Cygnus. And, yeah, 5603 is the one we believe is on HTVX.
Okay, we copy, and that's a good config, Chris.
Houston, station 2, Cygnus, step 366.
With you.
Yeah, so I went to go pack this JSB 5602, but it looks like the S2_11 location already has a bag in it. It actually looks like the whole outer layer of S2 is full with bags, and I wanted to maybe read you guys what bags are there, because I'm not sure if I need to relocate these bags or if we want to change where things are. But there's 2 JSBs and a 3.0 in the S2 bay right now in the outer layer. And those bags are hardware JSB 5597, and then 3.0, and then also JSB 5597.
sorry, JSP 5597 and then 3.05073 and one more JSP that I guess did not take a picture of.
We copy those two, Chris, and we are checking.
Okay, I'll get you the other JSP number right now. And Houston, Chris on two. So it's JSP 5597 is in S211, and then JSP 5591 is in S212, and then 3.05073 is in S213.
And Chris, we copy all. That's a good config for the JSB and 3.0 CTB report. For step 366, we expect you to put this on top, basically going to the inner layer.
Okay, so we're talking about inner layer, so not outer one. Oh, okay, copy that.
And while I have you, Chris, we do have an answer on the 1.0 CTBs of clothing. Serial numbers 5599 and 5602. You are go to place those into a JSB and trash in Cygnus. The location would be port 2_22, also known as port 2 outer. And we'll take the JSB serial number that you put those CTPs into.
Copy that, port 2 outer. And I think there's a JSB that we started that was 5616. So there's a JSB 5616 that we had started in F1_2 that we could probably fit these into. If that works, that could start at that JSB instead.
Munich station on three for timeline and priorities.
Munich is with you on two. Go ahead.
Hi, Andy. This last step, step 14, 13 and 14, took about 25 minutes for two of us to do because of the config right now of Columbus with everything on deck two and then rotating the rack and finding the items. So we found the items, and we are trying to rotate the rack down. And the left side, so the forward side, or the port side is going in, like the K-bar mechanism is engaging, and the right side is like almost there. It's like sitting right on top of it, but we can't get it down. We've been trying for about 10 minutes now. So just wondering if you, I know this activity is supposed to be done and we need it to complete today, so just wondering if you want us to spend time trying to troubleshoot this or if you want us to switch gears.
Give us a minute, please.
So just your awareness, you probably know, but the Columbus 1 Deck 3, that panel, is actually really difficult to take off. I think that also took about 15 minutes and several people. So just letting you know, those steps were what slowed us down. Looks like there's only 6 more steps, so I'm happy to keep working it for a little bit, and hopefully we can get it done, and then maybe we can revisit the rack situation later.
That sounds like a good plan, and go to press for the remaining stowage, and then we'll get back to you for the deck rack.
Okay, thanks. And Munich station on two for Columbus.
Munich is back on two. Go ahead, Jessica.
Kind of like those other items I'd reported last time, this EML oxygen sensing and control system foam box is enormous and will definitely not fit in the JSB unless it's unless like a lot of time is taken to disassemble all the panels.
We copy that, Jessica. You're go to skip that step for now. We'll get you a location directly in Cygnus, but we need to work that on ground first.
Hey, copy. Thanks. And Munich one more time.
Munich is here on two.
Yeah, the bag 5612 of the JSB is only about 30% full, given that these items can't fit in it due to their size. So you still want me to go stow it in Cygnus, even though it's only 30% full? I would offer is maybe that foam box, if it's approved, could fit in the same location, just not inside the JSB, but actually the entire contents of trash would fit inside the foam box, and that could probably fit in the same location that a JSB would fit.
Let us check on that real quick. We think it's a good idea, but let us confirm.
Okay, copy. Thanks.
Station, this is Munich on two, back with Jessica for the trash gather.
Right on two.
We check back, and everyone agrees with your plan. It sounds like a good idea to put the trash inside the foam box instead of the foam box inside the trash. Your goal for that?
Great news. Fits perfectly. I'll proceed.
Station Houston on Space Ground 2 for Chris and a stow track Delta.
Ground 2 for Chris.
Hey, Chris, just two things for you. First, for your awareness, in your stow track, step 371, do not perform that until Jessica is complete with her cold trash gather activity. Step 371 is a kind of closeout activity. If you get to that point, you can skip it and continue with step 372.
Copy that. I just ran into Jessica, and I'm going to actually just help her get all that stuff sorted and in Cygnus, if that works for you guys.
We like that plan, Chris. And then one other thing we would like you to check on is when you do get back into Cygnus, to verify that there's a 3.0 CTB, serial number 5007. It's in the aft one location, and we want you to verify that it is no longer protruding towards the hatch.
5007, aft one, make sure it's not protruding towards the hatch. Copy, we'll go.
Good copy.
Just in the station on two, Jack, for timeline.
Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, I got caught up in the rack rotation with Jessica for a little while. Just started my T2. Can I run a half hour late on the activities that follow T2 and just eat into the evening prep time that's on the backside of all that? Will that work for you guys?
Checking. And Station Houston on 2 for Jack. We are good with your plan to get on T2, and then you are good for your timeline to slide to the right 30 minutes.
Perfect. Thanks for the accommodation. Appreciate it.
Certainly.
And Munich on 2 for cargo.
Munich is here. Go ahead, Jessica.
Yeah, just letting you know, item step 17.03, that EPM CBPD kit, that was actually, per my last notes, that was added to 5810. So it's already in 5810. So that spot will be empty since this has us packing it separately. Everything's done in here, so I'm just bringing the bags over, and Chris is going to help me pack them down.
Perfect. We took note on ground. Thank you very much, and thanks for being so flexible and you guys working together to figure all this out.
No problem. And about that rack, so the first time we rotated it down, it was not even getting close, so we went back under there, and I think some of the items that are in the big pocket that's attached to the rack had shifted a little bit, so we moved those around. And then when we got down closer, the left side went in, and now the right side's just not going in. So I think we'll have to rotate that back up and maybe shift contents.
Station, this is Munich on Space to Ground 2 for Jessica. Sorry, we walked right into a handover there. Back with you on Space to Ground 2 for Cygnus Stowage.
Houston Station, Sophie on 2 for timeline.
Go ahead, Sophie.
Just I was talking with a crew for how I could best offer my help. And so it seems that my ARID is finished for me. I'm going to hop on CVS. Jack is on T2, and then right after we have a no exercise window, and there I'll be here to help for either rep rotation in Columbus or whatever you need. The plan is okay for you.
Thanks for the check-in, Sophie. We will, after you're done with CVIS, have a procedure for you to clean some residue off of the airlock IV hatch, and you can give us a call back when you're done with exercise, and we'll have a procedure and stowage information.
Okay, great. I'll be there after in about, 40 minutes.
Excellent.
Second station on 2 for timeline.
Go ahead, on 2, Jessica.
Jackie, just letting you guys know, I'm going to try to sneak on ARED for a quick, half hour here before our no exercise constraint. I will set an alarm, but I'm happy to take a call, a reminder for you guys for that 4:45 no exercise, and let me know. I'm assuming it's not going to move right here, but let me know if so.
Happy that, Jessica. We'll be with your plan.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
Houston, station on 2 for stow track step 372, 373.
Houston's here.
Yeah, I was just looking ahead at these steps, and it looks like we are going to be putting a few more 4.0s in Node 2 Deck 2. To my eye, Node 2 Deck 2 already looks quite... I'm not, and it's already protruding up over the, into the corridor area a little bit. I'm not quite sure what that will look like with two more 4.0s, and just wanted to get your advice on that.
Checking. Chris, we'll need a few minutes to think about that. We'll give you a call back with our thoughts.
Okay, yeah, I turned on the Node 2 camera 1 with just a view of what we've currently got there. I mean, we could probably reorganize it a little bit. It's a kind of a tough area to pack with a 10.0 and an 8.0. It's just as hard to get them, you know, nicely packed, especially, you know, I've been trying to, you know, keep access to, like, the IMDs and things like that and not pressing things too hard against the hatch mechanisms. But, any advice you have on that packing?
Copy. We will take a gander, take a look at the video on Node 2 and assess.
Houston, station on 2, just some follow-up for that Node 2 Deck 2 stowage. You know, I sort of pondered it a little bit more, and I think the biggest problem is just that they're all big bags. We have more space there, but it's just sort of like behind the light bars and sort of that thing, but we would need to use smaller CTDs, not, you know, 4.0 and larger.
And Chris, thanks for that additional explanation and the views. We want to confirm, do you think that one more 4.0 CTD would fit?
Yeah, I mean, I guess fit is sort of a hard binary to say. So, like, right now, basically, there's a 10.0 on the lower layer and an 8.0 stacked on top of that. So, and a 4.0 kind of jammed off to one side, so the 10.0 is kind of biased to the side. I mean, we could certainly put another 4.0 there. It would just make it sort of protrude out a little bit more. You know, it sort of comes maybe like 2 feet sort of up into the corridor, a little over 2 feet into the corridor right now. So, I mean, we could certainly put something there. We just continue to sort of protrude out. So that's the main thing.
Okay, copy, Chris. We're going to mull that over, and I think now would be a good time to have you switch gears to get ready for HTVX release, and you are go for your first activity at 16:30.
Copy that. I will head on down and get things, start getting ready for that. And then just one more thing to note in StowTrack. I was looking for the 4.0 in step 373.01, and it does not appear to be on DMM1 rack front, deck rack front. So I was about to go look for it with the barcode reader, but I'll just wanted to make a note of that for whoever is the next person to take that up.
Copy, Chris. We actually see that CTB 5165 in the Node 2 downlink. We aren't quite sure how it got there, but we found it.
Oh, you know, that is me, that's probably my own fault. I got all those things that you mentioned in the daily summary this morning that you couldn't get without PMM access, and I must have accidentally not checked it off. So I will check that already. Perfect.
Ask Chris, did current Chris a good favor?
He did, but he forgot to check it off, which is bad on past Chris, but I'll forgive him.
We forgive all Chris's.
Houston, station on 2. I'm in step 1 of 1.602. I've verified that we are in Vern on both the hot backup and the main RWS. Looking for those reference times, and I need a minute to get the monitor set up on the Kubla RWS, but I will be ready for the release briefing.
Okay, the times are planned release time is 1700. Release window open, 1655. Release window close, 1758.
Copy. Planned release 1700, and then 1655 and 1758 for the open close.
And Chris, for the Kubla RWS, we think that you have the views you need on the monitors. Let us know if you do not think that is true.
Yeah, copy. I meant the monitors were not set up or deployed. They're kind of tucked behind the RWS. So I'm just getting them out and getting them on the arms.
Ah, okay. We understand. Yep, that makes sense to us.
Yeah, the views look reasonable though from what I can see on them so far. I just need to get them secured. So that should just take me another minute or two.
Sounds great. Give us a call when you're done and ready for the briefing.
Houston, station on 2 from the Kubla. I have got the monitor set up, and I am ready for the briefing.
Okay, Chris. Ground M1 is primed for all robotics, camera control, and ISS attitude commands for release. You are primed for clearance monitoring and commanding HTVX retreat. Ground M1 can start SSRMS motion once the pin has exited the LEE. This can be confirmed either from downlink video or your call, whichever comes first.
In the event ground loses video, clearance calls from you will be required after drift out. In this case, ground will wait for your 1.5 meter clearance confirmation before starting motion. Be aware that if the hot backup RWS is active, the hand controllers and capture release switch will be hot. As soon as you have visually verified 4.5 meters of clearance, you are go to issue the HTVX retreat command and control the cameras as required for departure monitoring. If drift out motion is off nominal, HTVX retreat will be executed by you once you have confirmation that the pin has exited the lee. And then finally, I have a note for you for the procedure in step 7 when you're ready to copy.
Ready to copy.
Okay, in step 7, you're going to do some video reconfiguration. That can be performed on monitor 3.
Copy. In step 7, I'll use monitor 3.
All right, this is the conclusion of the briefing. Any questions for us?
Oh, no questions. All seems clear and in accordance with what I expected. Thank you.
Excellent.
And Houston just passed along that Jessica has finished on ARED.
Thanks for that status.
From 260 miles above the Earth, you're looking live at the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency's HTV-X1 cargo craft, poised for its departure from the International Space Station less than 15 minutes from now to complete its 4.5-month mission at the outpost, to which it delivered more than 4 tons of supplies and scientific experiments for the residents of the orbital laboratory. Good day from the International Space Station Flight Control Room at Mission Control here at the Johnson Space Center in Houston. The HTV-X1 is grappled to the Canadarm2 robotic arm in its release position, having been maneuvered to that position about 4 hours ago, following its detachment yesterday from the Earth-facing port of the Harmony module. The detachment of HTV-X1 represented the completion of, as we said, about a 4.5-month mission at the International Space Station. Yesterday, the vehicle was maneuvered in front of the Harmony module for a sensor data demonstration collection exercise to support the development of the HTV-X3 docking demonstration. The HTV-X1 was maneuvered to 9 different unique positions in front of the Harmony forward port for data gathering yesterday.
A friendly reminder that we are in the no exercise block.
Copy, no exercise.
Here in Mission Control, spacecraft communicator Amy Dill talking to Jessica Meir on board the International Space Station. On the bottom of your screen is the lead flight director for the HTV-X1 mission, Fiona Antkowiak. To her right is Amy Dill, and to Dill's right is JAXA astronaut Aki Hoshide, a veteran of HTV operations with the legacy HTV cargo vehicle when he flew aboard the International Space Station several years ago. Once HTV-X1 is released, that release time is expected right at the top of the hour at 11 a.m. Central Time, high noon Eastern Time. It will then begin to depart the vicinity of the International Space Station. Some 7 minutes after its release, there will be an engine firing called a single burn departure maneuver, or SDM-1 burn, of 36.5 seconds in duration to increase its departure velocity by 0.45 meters per second, allowing it to depart the neighborhood of the International Space Station. Some 40 minutes after release from the robotic arm, the Canadarm2, we will complete the integrated operations between Mission Control here in Houston and the JAXA Flight Control Room in Tsukuba, Japan. The HTV-X1 will depart in a trajectory that will carry it above the International Space Station and then behind the station. The HTV-X1 will raise its orbit to some 311 miles, some 50 miles higher than the International Space Station, for the start of about 99 days of experiment operations as a scientific platform, if you will, for the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency. There will be the release of a small satellite, an SSOD as it's called, a small satellite orbital deployer demonstration. There will be another experiment demonstration about a month from now called Mount Fuji, the Mount Fuji experiment, is designed to characterize satellite laser ranging technology. And then very late in its free-flying time on orbit before it is deorbited some 3.5 months from now, HTVX-1 will support the deployment of a CubeSat and a deployable antenna demonstration called Delight. So there's a lot miles yet to go for the HTVX-1 following its release from the International Space Station. The release today is being commanded by the robotics flight controller here in Mission Control. It's called a ground control release. Chris Williams, the NASA astronaut who has been on board since last November, he is in the cupola of the International Space Station. He'll be monitoring the departure of HTVX-1 until it is beyond the point of the approach ellipsoid, at which time integrated operations will come to an end.
And Houston Station on 2, HTVX lights are visible.
Copy.
The journey of HTVX-1 began back on October 25th with its launch from the Tanegashima Space Center in southern Japan on a Japanese H-3 rocket. JAXA delivered the HTVX-1 into a perfect orbit with its release from the second stage of the H-3 rocket occurring some 15 minutes after liftoff from that island-based launch site in southern Japan. After a four-day journey to the International Space Station, HTVX-1 arrived in the vicinity of the International Outpost, and the reverse of what we're about to see here today occurred when the crew on board the station, at that time led by Kimiya Yui of JAXA, reached out with the Canadian-built robotic arm and grappled HTVX-1, maneuvered it into position for its installation on the nadir, or Earth-facing port, of the Harmony module, at which point it began its 4.5-month cargo delivery mission of about 4 tons of supplies and scientific experiments. Today, in just a few minutes, about 8.5 minutes from now, we'll be seeing the snares open up on the end effector of the Canadian-built robotic arm, and the arm will then back away to represent the actual release of HTVX-1. It will be released over the Pacific Ocean. Currently, the International Space Station is flying 260 miles over the Pacific in a trajectory of northwest to southeast in an orbit inclined 51.6 degrees to either side of the equator. About 40 minutes ago, Flight Director Fiona Antkowiak went around the room here in Mission Control to get a go-no-go for the release of HTVX-1. All the positions pulled go here in Mission Control. And so the Japanese cargo vehicle, the new generation of cargo carrying vehicles for the International Space Station and for future exploration activities on behalf of JAXA, is ready to begin its independent journey before it is ultimately deorbited to burn up in the Earth's atmosphere. The HTVX-1 is 26 feet long, 14.5 feet wide. The legacy HTV of years ago had its solar cells wrapped around the fuselage of the spacecraft. This vehicle has deployable solar array paddles, as they are called, by the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency. And there's a good view as we have entered an orbital sunrise over the Pacific Ocean of the HTVX-1 vehicle. Coming up on about the 6.5-minute mark until the command is issued by the robotics officer to open up the snares on the end effector of the Canadian-built robotic arm. So we'll be standing by to listen for that. And then the arm will back away from HTVX-1. Again, some 7.5 minutes after its release, the engine on the HTVX-1 will fire in what is the SDM-1 burn, as it's called, the single burn departure maneuver that will increase the opening rate between HTVX-1 and the International Space Station to 0.45 meters per second, allowing it to back away from the International Outpost to a safe distance for the beginning of its free flight scientific platform operations. Today's departure of HTVX-1 represents the first of two unpiloted cargo craft departures from the station. Next Thursday, March 12th, the Northrop Grumman Cygnus NG-23 spacecraft, the SS Willie McCool, will have a similar departure profile. Basically, it will be grappled and detached from its berthing port on the Earth-facing side of the Unity module, basically the parking place next door to where HTVX-1 was berthed. The SS Willie McCool will be released, again, ground-controlled released by the robotics officer here in Mission Control, and will depart for a 48-hour free flight before it is deorbited on Saturday, March 14th. The departure of the Cygnus, the Northrop Grumman Cygnus cargo craft, is scheduled for next Thursday morning, March 12th, with our coverage beginning at 5:45 a.m. Central Time, 6:45 a.m. Eastern Time, for a release 15 minutes later. And the JAXA flight director at SCUBA, JAXA flight control room in SCUBA, has given Flight Director Fiona Antkowiak here in Mission Control in Houston their green light, the go, for the release of HTVX-1 just 4 minutes from now.
For Chris, ground teams have pulled go for release. Stand by for steps 3 and 4.
Copy all. Standing by for steps 3 and 4.
The window is now open for the release of HTVX-1. The preferred time, however, is right at the top of the hour, at 11 a.m. Central Time, noon Eastern Time. Countdown clocks here in Mission Control, ticking backward toward the release of HTVX-1 to complete its 4.5-month mission at the International Space Station. As mentioned earlier, once HTVX-1 is flying free, it will spend about 99 days supporting scientific experiment work on behalf of the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency, before it is commanded to deorbit, where it will harmlessly burn up over the Pacific Ocean. The robotics officer reporting back to Flight Director Fiona Antkowiak that we are on track for an on-time opening of the snares on the end effector of the Canadarm2, which is currently grappled to HTVX-1. We are inside 2 minutes now from expected release. The International Space Station, currently flying 260 miles over the Pacific Ocean, moving from northwest to southeast, to orbit inclined 51.6 degrees to either side of the equator, coming up on 1 minute till release. The departure of HTVX-1 being monitored by NASA astronaut Chris Williams in the cupola. This view now from the end effector on Canadarm2. Once the snares are open and the robotics officer issues the command for the arm to back away, we'll confirm the release time. You'll see the arm slowly moving away from HTVX-1. That's coming up in about 30 seconds.
We are proceeding with release. Perform steps 3 and 4 and 1.602.
Mission copies 3 and 4 and 1.602.
And the robotics officer has now issued the release command to the end effector. It will take just a few seconds for those snares to open, and the release has been commanded. Release occurring at 11 a.m. Central Time, noon Eastern Time. HTVX-1 now flying free over the Central Pacific Ocean. We'll see the end effector view of Canadarm2 backing away from HTVX-1 momentarily. HTVX-1 reported to be rock solid as the end effector begins to back away. Good view of the Canadarm2 backing away from the HTVX-1. Once again, the release occurred right on time at 11 a.m. Central, noon Eastern Time, as the International Space Station flew 260 miles over the Central Pacific Ocean. About 5 minutes away from HTVX-1 executing its single burn departure maneuver.
Houston, Station 10 has exited the lead. Go for Backaway.
Copy. Proceeding with Backaway.
Now that the end effector has clearance from the grapple fixture on HTVX-1, the robotics officer here in Mission Control, operating the arm, is sending commands to continue the Backaway procedure. And the arm now in motion. You'll be able to see that full grapple fixture momentarily.
The Backaway in progress.
HTV-X1 arrived at the station and was grappled back on October 29th and berthed to the Earth-facing port of the Harmony module for its cargo delivery mission. That having been completed, maiden flight of this new generation of Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency cargo craft, which will also be applicable for future exploration activities, is now coming to an end, at least as far as the station is concerned. 3 minutes away from HTV-X1 executing its single burn departure maneuver. Flight controllers reporting the HTV-X1 systems are in good shape, no issues. All of its mobile positioning system sensors are all functioning normally as it calculates its position relative to the International Space Station and the Earth itself. The robotics officer now reports that the Canadarm2 has completed its back away, if you will, moving a safe distance away from HTV-X1, about a minute away from the vehicle executing its departure burn.
And also for pan tilt cameras as needed.
Copy, go for step 4 and go for pan tilt cameras as needed. Retreat, execute is sent.
Listen, copy.
And Chris Williams from the cupola confirming that the vehicle has armed its burn capability. This STM-1 burn, if you will, expected to last about 36 and a half seconds to increase its opening rate from the station by about 0.45 meters per second.
And Houston, station on 2, we see the VV mode in RP departure and retreat is commanded.
Houston copies.
We're about 1 minute away from the start of the departure burn. The command to execute the burn has been loaded into the onboard computers on HTV-X1.
Station Houston on 2, departure burn loaded and will execute shortly. Monitor per steps 5 and 6 and 1.602.
Copy all. Monitoring for steps 5 and 6.
The visiting vehicle officer reports navigational data for the HTV-X1 is looking very good. The vehicle systems are solid as we're coming up here in just a few seconds for the start of the departure burn. And the burn is underway. The burn, once again, about 36 seconds in duration to accelerate the opening rate between the cargo craft and the International Space Station, enabling HTV-X1 to exit first of two boundaries in the neighborhood of the station called the Keepout Sphere. That will be followed about 20 minutes later by its departure from the approach ellipsoid, which will bring to an end integrated operations between Mission Control here in Houston and the JAXA Flight Control Room in Tsukuba, Japan. And the departure burn now complete. Burn look good.
Departure burn complete. Verify and monitor per step 7.
Copy. Verifying monitoring per step 7.
24-hour safe trajectory confirmed.
Station copies.
That call from spacecraft communicator Amy Dill to NASA astronaut Chris Williams and the cupola of the station, confirming that HTV-X1 is on the proper trajectory to move to a position above and behind the International Space Station, well away from the complex, to begin its three-month scientific mission as a platform supporting several scientific investigations for JAXA. Good view of the canted solar array paddles that provide the power generation for HTV-X1. We are in a brief handover with our tracking and data relay satellite system communications network. We'll be reacquiring a view of HTV-X1 from the space station external cameras here momentarily. It all went by the book this morning. HTV-X1 parting the International Space Station with its release from the Canadarm2 robotic arm on time, 11 a.m. Central Time, 12 noon Eastern Time, as the station flew 260 miles over the Central Pacific. Here in Mission Control, the Orbit 2 team of flight controllers on console at this hour, led by Flight Director Fiona Antkowiak at the bottom of your screen to her right, spacecraft communicator Amy Dill, whose voice you have heard communicating with Chris Williams of NASA for the International Space Station, and to her right is JAXA astronaut Aki Hoshide, veteran of HTV operations during his tenure on previous flights to the International Space Station.
Send Sophie on 2 for next activity.
Hey, Sophie, I've got some words on the hatch seal for you when you're ready to copy.
I am ready to copy.
Okay, we've been tracking about 10 days ago. You and Chris saw some white residue on the airlock IV hatch at about the 5 o'clock location. So we have a procedure for you to perform. 1.1.521 for U.S. hatch seal inspection. You're going to start in step 2.17, correction, to vacuum first, and if not successful, the procedure will vector you to try to clean it with potable water and a lint-free absorbent paper. How copy so far?
Copy. So procedure 1.1.521, and then starting step 2.17 for vacuum first, and then next steps in case it doesn't work.
Excellent copy. So you'll reference the tools list in the procedure. Most are crew deployed, but I'll give you stowage locations for two that you might need that for. First is for the AC dry vacuum brush tool. That's located in node 2, deck 4, and a 1.0 CTB serial number 1008. And that's for the NOM operations AC dry vacuum cleaner. And then the second item is for lint-free absorbent paper. That's going to be deployed in the airlock in the EMU servicing kit, serial number 5005.
Okay, AC dry vacuum, note 2, deck 4, CTD 1.01008, and lint-free absorbent paper in the EMU servicing kit 5005.
Good copy. All right, that's all that we think you need. I'll let us know if you have any questions.
No questions for now, and that's in work.
Thank you much.
Very welcome.
That conversation between spacecraft communicator Amy Dill and European Space Agency astronaut Sophie Adenau of Expedition 74 aboard the station regarding some housekeeping activities in the Quest airlock.
And HTVX, arigato.
Thank you so much. It was wonderful having HTVX here. It really brought a lot of joy to us and a lot of joy to the station. We're really happy that we had such a wonderful mission with it. So thank you to everyone on the ground and at Jackson all over the world that helped make this mission a success. Thank you very much.
The vehicle has exited the first of the two boundaries around the International Space Station, that being the keep-out sphere. The next call will be coming up shortly, the exiting of HTVX-1 from the approach ellipsoid that will terminate integrated operations between Mission Control here in Houston and the JAXA Flight Control Room in Tsukuba, Japan. You heard the words between Amy Dill, the spacecraft communicator, and NASA's Chris Williams, who viewed the departure of HTVX-1 from the cupola of the station. It is currently flying 260 miles over the South Atlantic, having just crossed the southern tip of South America, now moving in a trajectory inclined 51.6 degrees to either side of the equator from southwest to northeast. As mentioned earlier, this is the first of two unpiloted cargo craft departing the station within a week. Next Thursday, the Northrop Grumman NG-23 Cygnus cargo craft, the SS Willie McCool, will duplicate the activities you've just seen with the HTVX-1 being released robotically from the Canadarm2 robotic arm to begin its departure from the station, having completed its cargo delivery activities at the International Outpost. We will provide live coverage of the Cygnus departure from the station next Thursday morning, March 12th. Coverage beginning at 5:45 a.m. Central, 6:45 a.m. Eastern Time for its robotic release 15 minutes later. And again, HTVX-1 is now phasing into an orbit above and behind the International Space Station for the start of its scientific platform support of several scientific investigations for the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency, JAXA, before it is scheduled to complete its mission about 99 days from now. Aboard the International Space Station, meanwhile, as the HTV-X1 departure activities have been ongoing, the rest of the crew aboard the station has been busy with a variety of activities, end-of-the-week housekeeping, as well as packing items no longer needed on the station inside the Northrop Grumman Cygnus cargo craft for its departure next Thursday morning. And external cameras on the station still with a view of HTV-X1 and its canted solar array paddles. HTV-X1 still in the field of view, soon to exit the so-called approach ellipsoid, which is the last of the two boundaries that comprise the neighborhood of the International Space Station. HTV-X1 backlit as it continues an opening rate away from the International Space Station. We're about 17 minutes away from its departure from the approach ellipsoid, that final boundary between it and the International Space Station. Expect one final call to the crew at that point. Now a much better view of HTV-X1 as it begins its three-month scientific mission in support of experiment investigations on behalf of the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency. And once again, we're in a gap between coverage on our tracking and data relay satellite system. We'll regain our downlink capability from the station in just a few moments. Just to recap, the HTV-X1 was detached from its berthing port on the Earth-facing side of the Harmony module yesterday, unbolted basically, 16 bolts holding it in place for the past 4.5 months while it supported cargo delivery operations. The robotics officer had previously grappled HTV-X1, then maneuvered it last night into a position in front of the Harmony module to conduct a sensor data collection demonstration. 9 different orientations for HTV-X1 to verify its ability to gather and process data.
Welcome to come on board if you want to.
Copy, Sophie. We're discussing if we'll join you on board.
Once the sensor demonstration had been completed, the vehicle was left in an overnight park position at the end of the Canadarm2 robotic arm before being maneuvered to its final release position early this morning. After a final systems check and a green light having been given by the flight control team here in Houston, as well as the JAXA flight control team in Tsukuba, Japan, which is in charge of HTV-X1 operations, the vehicle was released on the ground-controlled command of the robotics officer here in Mission Control right on time at 11 a.m. Central Time, noon Eastern Time, as the International Space Station flew 260 miles over the Central Pacific Ocean. We're just a few minutes away from HTV-X1 now departing the so-called approach ellipsoid, that is the final boundary, essentially a racetrack type of boundary that marks the end of the neighborhood of the International Space Station relative to the cargo vehicle itself. There should be a final call to the crew at that point, just to make sure that they understand that the HTV-X1 has completed its joint mission between JAXA flight controllers in Tsukuba, Japan, and the flight control team here in Houston. And the crew will move on to the rest of its day's activities, mostly comprising of exercise periods before they move into a sleep period later today.
Houston Station, JAXA 2 for troubleshooting in my pin AC inverter power on activity, step 4.
With you.
Okay, step 4, I powered on switch 2 in on the inverter and did a reset test or reset on the GFCI, and the GFCI green light is kind of intermittent and light. Not as, you know, usually they come on bright and solid. This is kind of lighter and intermittent. does look like the Adlink Mini PC is holding power steady downstream of that, though.
Thanks for the report, Jack. We are good with the config.
Awesome. Great news. Thanks.
Eastern Station, Sophia and Cooper, Airlift.
Go ahead.
So the vacuum attenuated a little bit, a tiny bit, but not enough, I think. So I will go for the lint-free option. And so just a question, since I have the vacuum cleaner deployed, do you want me to vacuum the whole seat around?
Not required, Sophie. Yeah, we just wanted you to concentrate on where that white was on the hatch seal.
So I'll proceed with the next then.
We concur.
The JAXA flight control team in SCUBA estimating that HDV-X1 will be departing the approach ellipsoid about 6.5 minutes from now. We'll be standing by for that final milestone before we wrap up our coverage for the day. As the HTVX-1 prepares to depart the vicinity of the International Space Station, the attention for the crew will be completion of packing of items no longer needed on the complex into the Northrop Grumman Cygnus cargo craft, the NG-23, the SS Willie McCool, for its departure from the station next Thursday morning. The Cygnus cargo craft will be robotically released, just as HTVX-1 was earlier this morning. It will fly free for about 2 days before it is commanded to deorbit by the Northrop Grumman flight controllers in Dulles, Virginia. The International Space Station is flying from southwest to northeast, approaching the west coast of Africa, flying at an altitude of 260 statute miles. And again, we're back with a live view from external cameras on the station as HTVX-1 fades from view, about to depart the approach ellipsoid in about 4 minutes. This is Mission Control Houston. We're standing by for confirmation of HTVX-1 having departed the approach ellipsoid. That should be coming up momentarily following its departure from the International Space Station, with a robotic release occurring about 43 minutes ago at the top of the hour at 11 a.m. Central Time, noon Eastern Time.
Houston Station, Sophian 2 for Airlift.
Go ahead.
So just mentioned the Ziploc bag with the lint-free absorbent paper didn't have any label on it, but it really looks like lint-free absorbent paper, so just wanted to have your go.
You've got the right paper per the video.
Great, so going on to the next one.
Copy.
This is Mission Control Houston. We've had confirmation that the HTVX-1 has now exited the approach ellipsoid.
And Station Houston on 2 for awareness, HTVX has exited the approach ellipsoid.
Chen, copy. Thanks for the update. And can you verify that the exercise constraint is listed now?
And it is verified. You are go for exercise.
Awesome. Thanks, Amy.
This is Mission Control Houston. Spacecraft communicator Amy Dill confirming to the crew on board the International Space Station that HTVX-1 has exited the approach ellipsoid, the final boundary, if you will, for the neighborhood of the station. That terminates and completes successfully integrated operations between Mission Control here in Houston and the JAXA Flight Control Team in SCUBA, Japan. So it all went by the book this morning with a very smooth robotic release of HTVX-1. To wrap up its 4.5 month cargo delivery mission to the International Space Station, HTVX-1 now flying free in support of about 3+ months of scientific investigations on behalf of JAXA. And with that, we'll wrap up our coverage of the HTVX-1 departure for today. We wish you a good weekend and stay tuned with us, because there's a lot more operational activity on tap for the crew on board the International Space Station. For now, we'll bid you a great weekend. This is Mission Control Houston.
Houston Station, Sophia 2 for Hutchins.
Houston's here.
results. Super happy about that. Yeah, so it was a tiny, tiny thing. Just one lint-free paper used and a tiny bit of water and gentle tap was enough.
Great news, Sophie. Good work. And we'll take pictures, of course.
Sure. Do you want me to apply Braycot after this or not?
Yes, we will take Braycot applications.
See that? So pictures maybe before and after the Braycot as well.
Good thinking.
Houston Station, Sophie on 2 for Hatsune.
Go ahead.
So that's the end of the procedure, all successful, all nominal. So, yeah, I will download the pictures from SSC-16.
Happy, Sophie. We really appreciate that hatch seal cleaning. We do have some questions on the suspect SD card that you reported in a crew note. If now's a good time, we can talk about that, or we can wait till you're all done, closed out in the airlock.
Very good idea. Let me first clean up everything and make sure the airlock is perfect and ready for the next operations, and just stow the vacuum cleaner, and then I'll get back to you.
Great, we'll stand by for your call.
Station, Sophie and 2, ready for the next activity.
All right, Sophie, we just had some questions on the suspect SD card that you reported in the crew note for the DPC activity this morning. And you may need to go grab it from your temp still location, but our first question was, there's a tiny switch on the side of the SD card. Is it in the locked down position?
Let me check.
Copy.
I see the switch in the locked down position, yes.
All right, you can take that switch to the up position to unlock it, and we think once that's in place, that SD card should work again.
Amazing, I just learned something, thank you. I'll try this with a floater camcorder and I'll let you know.
Sounds great, yep, let us know if it works.
PM2 for SD card.
Houston's here.
Yeah, well, I got excited too fast about this solution. It actually does not work. I tried two different camera slots, Alpha and Bravo, and it's still red. It doesn't recognize any card.
Copy, Sophie. Have you tried formatting the SD card in a camcorder?
That's actually what I first tried to do, but the camcorder reacts as if there is no SD card inside. I cannot even send the command of formatting because it's not like as if it has nothing. Let me put it in into SSC to assess another option.
That was exactly our next suggestion. So let us know how it works in SSC.
So we got Sophie M2 for SD card.
Thank you.
So apparently it does copy the files. I just created this folder videos for review. It will take a while apparently, but I was thinking next option would be to format cards from the SSC, and for that I would need some words.
Copy, Sophie. Thanks for the report. We'll get a plan together for how to format the card from the SSC and put it on a future day timeline. So for now, you can temp stow the SSC, or you can temp stow the SD card, and let us know where you put it.
Okay, and so just for your information, it will be in Lab 1 port 5.
Houston copies.
And Sophie is still on 2 for Houston. If you have anything else, don't hesitate to call.
That's all we have activity-wise for you tonight, Sophie. Thanks again for the support on cleaning that airlock hatch.
With pleasure.
Station Houston on 2 for Chris. When you're done with your RWS activity, we have a follow-up on the Cygnus stow track. And we see in the video, so I'll just take a thumbs up that you acknowledge. Copy, thumbs up.
Yeah, I'm happy to take that follow-up down, Amy. Thanks.
Okay, great, Chris. This is following back up on Cygnus stow track step 373. For the Node 2 Deck 2 location. So the reason why we wanted you to move a 4.0 CTB from PMIM to Node 2 Deck 2 is to make room in the for the north tank that you're going to move from Columbus to PMM. So our thought was that it would be less painful to have the 4.0 CTB in Node 2 versus in PMM, but we're interested in your thoughts and alternate configurations.
Yeah, I think... That's a great question. So yeah, I think we're trading off pain in
Yeah, I think that'll work. I mean, I think we'll have kind of a very busy node 2 deck 2 area that will be kind of a little bit overfull. I do think one thing we could potentially do is figure out a place where maybe we have some smaller CTVs, some 1.0s or 2.0s that we could move and make space for a 4.0, because I think we could much better fit 1.0s and 2.0s in the Node 2 Deck 2 area than we could with 4.0s. There just are some kind of awkward spaces by the light bars. But, yeah, I think we can go ahead and do that, move that 4.0 over and make that space. Because the Norris Bank in Columbus is pretty convenient every time you need to get into that rack, which is pretty frequent.
Okay, Chris, yeah, we copy. So I think for today we'll have you move that 4.0 CTB to Node 2 Deck 2, but we will discuss on our end and come up with a potential plan to change that to be 1.0 and 2.0 CTBs for a future day.
Okay, yep, that sounds good. I will go ahead and knock that out. Thank you.
Houston copies.
Houston, station on 2 for moldy towel.
We're ready to copy about the moldy towel.
Bad news, Amy. I don't know if you've been following the saga, but we haven't had any for a while, but I just opened up another very moldy towel. It had, I think, even more than some of the other ones that we've had. Hygiene towel, same type of towel that we had the problem with last time. So I have triple bagged this one because it was very wet, and I will temp stow it somewhere in the PMM for now.
Copy, Jessica. Thanks for the report. That's a good config, and we are sad that you found another moldy towel. We had a collective groan down here, and I know you did up there, too.
We are sad as well. Let us know if you want us, I'm assuming, to stop using them. I'll go take a look at which bag I took it out of. We can at least stop using that open Ziploc. But we have used several other towels from that same bag, and they've all been fine.
Copy. Let us talk about that, and we'll try to get you back an answer by DPC.
Just a reminder, Ground knows this already, but this is from the new pantry that we opened after we stopped using the other entire CTB, so this is the new one.
Good clarification. Good evening.
Sensation on 2 for towels.
Houston's here.
Amy, just to clarify, the first time you said a 1.0 and a 4.0, I did put them in the 4.0, 5126, but I didn't see 5614 in there. Should it have been?
Negative. That was my bad. The 4.0, 5126 is the correct CTB.
Okay, perfect. They are there now. Thank you.
Thanks for double-checking, and thanks for your patience with me.
Absolutely. You're the master Capcom. No worries.
That made my day. Station Houston on Space Ground 2 for upcoming events.
Go ahead on 2.
Hey, Jack, just checking with you if you plan to do the event in the gym because we saw the cameras were active, and if so, may we join you on board?
Hey, it's Chris. Yeah, absolutely. You may join us on board. We've got it all set up and are getting stuff sorted, and we'll log on to BME TV shortly.
Awesome, and I'll put a quarter in the Jack and Chris jar. I can't believe I mixed you guys up.
No worries at all. I'm flattered by that.
Good answer.
And just so you guys know what to expect, it'll be the whole crew. We'll have everybody here.
Awesome. Looking forward to it.
Just want to emphasize how flattered he is by the thinking it was me.
Now I know that's Jack.
Houston, this is Station on 2. We are here in the gym, and we are going to also turn on BME TV if you guys have that available for us.
All right, copy all. Give us a few minutes to get the party on the loop.
Hello. Nice to meet you. Én most magyarul fogok beszélni, és majd itt a kollégám lefordítja. Hálás vagyok, és nagyon köszönöm a lehetőséget, hogy beszélhetek önökkel. Magyarország tavaly 45 év után Kapu Tiborral visszatért az űrbe. Ennek egy egész ország örül, és nagyon köszönjük ezt a lehetőséget, és minden jót kívánunk maguknak. Ott elég érdekes helyzetben lehet lenni az űrben, úgy látjuk, és köszönöm a lehetőséget, hogy beszélhettünk.
Okay, this is the interpreter speaking, a short translation of what the Hungarian president told you. He's extremely grateful to you for this opportunity to actually address you. He's having a very good time here, an especially important time for Hungarians because after 45 years last year, Hungary was again able to send an astronaut to space, Tibor Kapu, an astronaut. Indeed, who made the whole country proud. The president wishes you all the best in your endeavors. He's seeing that some of you are in a somewhat lopsided situation, but is hoping that everything is okay with you, and we wish you all the best.
Well, thank you very much for those kind words, and on behalf of our entire crew, and the crew of Expedition 74 and the International Space Station, we want to say thank you. It's wonderful to get a chance to speak to you and to welcome you on board the space station for a little bit.
Thank you very much, and have a safe flight.
Thank you, and as a French person coming from Europe, I wanted to congratulate Hungary specifically because I realize that I understand, and we all understand, how important to have inspiring figures in space, and when a country has not done it for 45 years, now it's a new time for the country, and we are very proud of Hungary, all of us here.
Thank you. Merci beaucoup pour tous les mots que vous avez nous adressés.
Merci, monsieur.
Enchanté de parler avec vous.
Hope you're having a wonderful visit. I'm sure the team on the ground is treating you very well. Enjoy our hometown of Houston and the Johnson Space Center.
Mindent láttunk Houstonban, és csodálatos.
Call us at Expedition 74. Thanks very much.
Bale of the time, as they say in Houston. We have had a very interesting day so far today.
Thank you
very much, and good night. They are telling us it's bedtime for you almost. And
thank you so much, and thank you for stopping by. And it's wonderful. Hello from 460 kilometers and 17,500 miles an hour.
It's just awe-inspiring. Thank you all.